Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. I hope everyone is having a wonderful Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. I'm pretty positive this time. I said that with less positivity than I had in my heart, that it's Wednesday, but you guys know how I go. I get all mixed up and forget shit. And then I spent the whole day with Dan Smotz yesterday, which was awesome. By the way, that guy rules. If you're not following his podcast, The System is Down, you can find that at tsidpod.com. Man, he's great. He really is. Him and his wife are both awesome. They're great people. Definitely go follow them and support them. I know that YouTube doesn't really let you support him financially because he's just too conspiracied out for them. But it is fun to listen to his show, and you can always check him out on Odyssey and all that other great stuff as well. Guys, we got a great show for you tonight. No, I'm not trolling you at all, but let's start off with some sponsors. First, of course, we have TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get this great Break the Cycle custom pillow that you see on my couch during all my streams by using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. Or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, or become a member of my YouTube channel under all of my videos by hitting the join link, where you can get in the private Discord server and get all of Top Lops' new gear up to 2 weeks early at like a 30% discount. I know he's been on kind of a lull putting out new stuff for the last couple weeks, but he does have a really cool Trump Kaczynski 2024 hat that you might want to check out. It's pretty funny. Definitely do that if you can. And of course, executive producers of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently for your business. So if you own a business or you know somebody that owns a business, go check out anthemplanning.com. It's free to check out the website, but you're going to find things that are going to help you. I'm sure of that. I promise you, if you own a business or you know somebody who owns a business, you're going to find things that will definitely help you out. Guys, like I said, we got a great show for you tonight. No, I'm not at all trolling you. We do have a literal jar of mustard on tonight. He's a public school teacher that we're going to keep anonymous. But we wanted to talk about all the craziness with the Democrats trying to take full control of your kids through the public education system. So my good friend, who has been on the show before, if you watched the very early episodes of my show, I had the jar of mustard on to talk about public schools once before. But bringing him back, because he is one of my all-time favorite guests, he is Mr. Jar of Mustard. Sir, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, buddy. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you on again, man. I you know, that short monologue that you had on my show, I think it was episode 4. It was a long time ago, man.
It might have been. It was an early one. I know that.
It was great, dude. I mean, you really went off. And if people haven't checked it out, you could check out my my TikTok. I even put a clip of it up there. But I think it was episode 4. It was when I was still doing solo episodes, and I'd bring somebody on for like a 5-minute rant. And you did a really good one, man. It was a good time.
I think you talked about Waco, or maybe it was Ross Ulbricht that day. It was one of the two of those ones. So.
Yeah, I think I think Waco was my very first episode, and Ross Ulbricht was episode 4, I believe. So
okay, I think you're talking Ross. Yeah, was I don't remember what was. Oh, school closings was the big hot button.
Yeah, this is when we were still only needed a couple more months to slow the spread back then.
Geez, what month did you start this in? May?
March.
There are schools that are still not open, by the way.
It was which March.
Which is its own up March. Okay, yeah, there's pluses and minuses to that. The schools staying closed. Like, ultimately, the schools themselves aren't closed. Like, kids are still in the grip of that system. They're just at home and sad in the meantime.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. Thankfully, so I think when I had you on, my kids were... the couple that we have in public school, because they were just so far behind, we couldn't do it on our own, basically. They were still doing the virtual school at the time, but they've been back in school for months and months and months and months now. So
yeah, it's one of those things where, like, it's just a weird thought to have that you're going to have a generation of kids who, just as American kids, and I know there's other stuff all over the world, but they're going to have really bizarre memories of school that are not shared at all,
right?
With, like, from state to state, like a kid who's like, I grew up in Iowa, they're gonna be like, oh, really? Okay. I grew up in California, we didn't go to school for 4 years, like,
right?
It's gonna be like, those kids aren't gonna have nothing to talk about. It's gonna be weird.
Well, yeah,
they're not gonna get what any of that is.
Oh no. And when I had Andrew Bogut on, he was really awesome, but we talked a little bit about, like, the the effect this is going to have on college athletes and pro athletes. I mean, you know, California, like they're still not playing organized sports in schools there.
That's wild. I know.
So like you can't better. I mean, these poor kids that are living through this time that had these great aspirations to become a pro football player or pro right. basketball player, they're not even gonna get their shot.
Right. Hey, I got to tell you too, that is, that's your coolest guest, I think, that you've ever had. I have grew up a Bucks fan. I've always been a Milwaukee Bucks fan, so it was awesome that you could have him on there.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was cool for me too, because I'm a Warriors fan, you know, and I waited, 33 years to see him win a championship or something, and he was on the team when they won the championship, and he was a big part of the team too. I mean, he really was, and so having him on was really, really cool, man. And it's still one of those ones I'm like, I can't believe I landed that interview, you know.
That's a cool interview. Yeah,
dude. I mean, but somebody who's won an NBA championship, that's huge. But let's talk about you, man. So you're a school teacher in public education.
Yeah.
I would hope that knowing who you are and how you feel about public education while working there, I would hope that my viewers will give you a little leeway here as you segue into your experience. But I mean, what was it that made you want to be a public school teacher, man?
This is so lame. I was just huge into geography when I was like a 6-year-old.
Sure.
I loved maps and stuff. And I thought that was always been kind of neat to me. I wasn't a libertarian so politically leanings weren't where they are until maybe like 2009 or so.
Sure.
And I was still in college and I wasn't a teacher yet, but, I like history. I've taught, history and politics for about a decade now. But I mean, was kind of my, when I think back onto all the questions you had to answer for applications or in interviews, like, why do you want to do this? I still was in that, that kind of typical conservative mindset of like, I want to make, and I don't even know if this is a conservative or a liberal thing. And I'm trying to teach kids to be good citizens. Right. And which I abhor that answer now. That answer is ass on 10 levels. But that was kind of my level. I liked history. I liked politics. And I was like, I could really talk this with kids in a sophisticated manner. And that was kind of my driving force to becoming a public school teacher.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. And it's really funny because we talk because we are going to eventually be homeschooling all our kids here.
Yeah.
We have several small ones that we will definitely not be putting into the public education system. We'll be homeschooling here. We just want to get a little bigger place and we kind of want to have a little farm area first and stuff like that before we really get there. So that's kind of what we're working towards. But we talk a lot about the history thing because the history that you're taught in school, elementary school, especially, and all the way through high school is just so skewed. You know, it's
dog shit. Yeah. I mean, it is. That's one of the bigger, when we talk about politics, the silly parts are when people talk about all sorts of political shit getting interjected into math classes and stuff like that. Right. I think that stuff is wild. But most people see that. Your average person sees that as bizarre. Even if there's people who don't want to admit that, like an openly campaign for like this stuff is stupid, they look at that and they're like, okay, that's dumb. I've worked with other teachers who are very left of center, or they're just like that type of kind of bougie progressive type of dude. Right. And that would be their wheelhouse if they'd be like, this is great. And they're like, no, that stuff is dumb, man. And it's not happening in most places. But it could, like, it's that stuff catches on and the right people go, hey, this is a great idea. When you start adding this in, they're super vocal about it. And everyone else just goes quietly to themselves, this is stupid. All of a sudden it is policy somewhere, where you wouldn't think it would be policy.
Right.
Like history and stuff. Yeah. There's been debates. I mean, there's left and right and center and authoritarian and libertarian opinions on everything in history forever. It's like the math and science questions of interjecting things into it that were never there. That stuff's new. And I think most people see that as absurd. I think people got to speak up more about it.
Right. Well, and so something that I've noticed a lot especially over the last year. So with all these school closures, it felt almost like the kids were being bullied. Like, we can't open the schools until we get the curriculum that we want and you guys all have masks and we can vaccine all the children. It felt like children were being bullied into, kind of going along with some of these politics. And now, we know now, I understand that the Democrats want to use public education system to make more Democrats. I mean, that's really what it feels like to me. You know what I mean? And so when this whole thing was going down with Virginia, right, this governor's race.
Yep.
You know, I cheered when the Republican won, because he ran on a school choice state here, which I'm a big fan of. I think there needs to be school choice in every state, and I know that the Democrats, especially here in Iowa. So here in Iowa, we have full school choice. We don't have to tell the government we're homeschooling our kids. We can literally just homeschool our kids.
Well, you shouldn't have to. Yeah.
Right.
The thing is, that should be the very moderate choice. And I've always thought that school choice is step one. That should be seen as, some people look at that as a radical idea, like shuffling money into private, you know, the private sector. And sometimes it is. Some of these private schools are also just as shit as a public school is, but choice is important. You have recourse when you've got that choice. You don't have recourse when you can't have the choice.
Right. Yeah. So we don't have to say anything, but every single legislative season, the Democrats put forth a bill to remove school choice. Legislative season.
And that's shitty. And that is one of those things where, like, I typically don't take sides between most of the politicking between right and left in education, because when it comes down to it, it's still that Prussian style education of sit and get, and the very authoritarian walk into it. And another reason that I would also, this is one of those times where you gotta go along with the message bearer, but you don't always want to bear all of their messages. That these guys, as far as Republicans gonna go, are gonna get school choice, and it's been a couple dozen places, right. States in the union in the last year have really opened this up, and it's been fantastic developments, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But you got to always kind of protect against one, the idea of we got school choice, now we're good, now we're happy, which so many people, as we know, are always happy to do that. Like, they get their one win and then they're fine with everything being the same. Understanding full well that a lot of kids and a lot of families are not going to understand their choices, are not going to, are going to think that now that I chose to send my kid to this other school, who they put out a statement that there's not going to be, there will be no critical race theory in the school. Like, the school board said no. So then it's not going to be taught in the school. And having been a teacher in a school for 10 years, teachers don't teach what they're told to teach.
Sure.
You still have the same people there. So it's just one of those warnings of school choice is step one, but that's got to be like a moderate step one. That's like you're walking in the door and that's it. You've just gotten in the door. But like you said, that goal should be your homeschooling kids, or not necessarily homeschooling, because there's a lot of parents I've met and a lot of people I know who they don't need to be homeschooling their kids.
Right.
You don't. Not that the alternative is that you must send them to a school of some sort, but we're so locked in this red schools versus blue schools that we don't realize that they're all the same Prussian model. And you're trading a critical race theory for all of a sudden your kids are now learning that, you know, the state's their friend, they're a bunch of drug warriors, they're sucking the boots of cops. Like, that's on the other side when people talk about we don't want these liberal pussies indoctrinating our kids. A lot of people are not thinking, Joshua Smith, great idea, we need libertarians in our schools. Sure. They're thinking we just need more Republicans in our schools. And that's the danger, that people cannot be satisfied with just, we got choice,
right,
and so I'm good. Because the problem is, a lot of parents just aren't, they're not talking to their kids. They're not asking their kids what they're learning.
Right.
And you might be, and I hope you are.
Oh, I am.
And I hope you stay on top of that.
We had a nice long talk the other day because my 10-year-old came home from school and he's like, Dad, My teacher told me that in the Declaration of Independence, when they wrote that, they were all sexist, and that's why they say the word men, and they don't mention women specifically. They meant that the Declaration of Independence was only for women. I said, "Who? Has somebody taught you that?" Yeah, my teacher was telling me that. That's bullshit. They just called all mankind man. Then that's how they said it. You know what I mean? So we had this sure. long discussion about how she's wrong, and next time she brings that up, he needs to tell her she's wrong. So, yeah, you
and
know,
good luck.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe he'll do that. Maybe he won't. But like with all that stuff, you can oust that leadership.
Right.
You could oust a couple of those teachers like that. But like the alternative curriculum is nationalism and militarism.
Right.
And the drug war. And like, I think that swing back and forth, if you can win an election or win a legislative battle and you could get school choice, you could just as easily lose a legislative battle or lose an election right. and have school choice taken away from you.
Yeah.
And usually when people lose something politically and then they get it back, they are vindictive about it.
Right.
So if a state is going to lose school choice, like these purple states, I could see people taking this and be like, you know, we need, it's not going to be called losing school choice. It's going to be called education reform
right.
in Missouri or something like that. And it's going to be where it comes with a gigantic overhaul in all the stuff that like California teachers unions wanted in you know exchange for holding those kids hostage
right.
for you know they can go back to school if we get a bunch of bullshit curriculum changes that no one really wants but the teachers want it and
right.
so I mean that's just something to worry about. Yeah, that's something to keep in mind, which is why I'm glad that you talked about homeschooling, alternative styles of school, community schools where like families simply get together and they work out with professionals, or maybe some of them are professionals, 5, 6, 7, 8 families. They hire someone to teach just their kids. So that choice is amongst maybe 8 families instead of the 1,000 families that go to a particular school district. And who the hell knows at that point who's making which decisions? It's the politicians now.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, I know my fiance Julie has been looking around and trying to kind of build a community based classroom. And that's something she's really a big fan of the radical unschooling ideas. Uh-huh. If you're yeah. familiar with that stuff, she's a really big fan of this lady. God, what's her name? I'm not going to remember. She always tells me I need to have her on the show. I think it's Deborah something, but she like radically unschooled all of her kids. And, it's actually like really, extreme, you know what I mean? Because,
oh yeah, it is extreme. Yeah. Yeah. And some extreme stuff is, I think it might be, is it a Dana?
Dana. Yes. That's who Dana something. Yeah, that's right.
You do need to get Dana on your show. Also, you need to marry that fiance. What are you waiting for?
Oh, I'm trying.
Like 19 kids.
Well, she's got a ring on her hand now, so we're halfway there. May smart. We're looking at May of in the summer. We're gonna get married in Colorado. So
May of 2023. You're not, or 2022.
Yes, 2022 next year.
Okay, yeah. Don't be one of those guys that waits like 4 years to be engaged. It's ridiculous.
No,
man.
The big thing for us is gonna be funding it basically. But we found where we're gonna get married at. We know that we can drive there from here pretty quickly.
Good.
Because initially I wanted to get married in Tahoe, and it was just too. It would be too much dragging 7 kids all the way across the country to get married. You know, just a lot. So we found a place we can drive to.
Yeah, it's weird that you're going to leave the other 12 kids behind too. That's nuts.
It's a lot of kids, man. Sometimes it feels like it's 20, man. Seriously. Like there's times, you know, as a man, like, and my viewers understand this, as a man, sometimes after like a 12-hour day at work, you want to come home and you just want to like be by yourself and be quiet. And like, you don't want to say anything. You don't want to talk to anybody. I don't even really want to be on my phone. I almost just want to lay in the dark for like 20 minutes with no one bothering you. That can literally never happen in my life.
That is rough. I usually get home about an hour before my wife. So I know it's a great feeling of like the decompression time. It's funny though. I should point out that for a man who's against like public schools like yours, it's odd that you carry your family around in a school bus. So that's just, I don't know.
It's hilarious that you're saying that, because I've been honest to God, like looking for school buses, because I want to do like a build out school bus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I've been looking for buses that would fit the family of 9 that I could build out with enough seats and still have some like we were thinking bunk beds in the back and maybe like a little dinette and air conditioner or something so that we could just take it camping with us or something. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I also live in like a really like uppity kind of rich suburban area, and I don't know where the hell they would let me park that at. Like, we have a long driveway, but I feel like they would be up our ass about it.
You're gonna be like, yeah, guy who didn't mow his lawn, and the SWAT teams rolling in at him.
Exactly. I'm be like, you guys are here for my bus? Jesus. So I get it. Like, you know what I mean? I think my being excited about the Republican winning in Virginia mm-hmm. had to do with school choice and not with curriculum changing. I'm under no illusion that the Republicans are going to have a curriculum that I agree with in Republican schooling. You know what I mean?
That'll be the challenge. That's always the challenge for, I mean, we know this, we understand we are a fringe ideology. Right. And so we're in need of fringe solutions that you just have to ally with who's going to make your children's lives a little bit better. But you can't rest either, which is important. But the school choice is a good, smart step. And I know it's tough doing homeschooling. It's easy if you've got, you know, a couple jobs and you've got some money in the bank and you're living comfortably to just be like, why don't you homeschool? It's not easy for everybody. Yeah. And so I definitely don't want to sound like someone who is just incredibly out of touch. Like, the fact that we don't have sound money in this nation is difficult. It's brutal when you're trying to afford to provide for your kids properly. Right. But there are people who can provide for that, and they can provide for that properly, and they simply don't. Because I mentioned this on the last time I was on, that kids oftentimes just get given up to the state. A lot of people just assume, and I think why part of the outrage is there now, it's like this slow burn over the last 10 years where people are finally picking up on, holy shit, and I don't know if it's the last 10 years or whatever, like, holy shit, I cannot believe the things that are being told to my kids as truth.
Right.
But I just got to tell people, like, how do you not believe it? It's been happening for a while. Do you not talk to your kids? And I'm glad you do, Josh. Like, that's a good example of, but it's just, it's maddening how parents don't talk to their kids because they've simply ceded child rearing to the state. They said, here you go. Here's my kid. Teach him everything I believe.
Right.
And that's it. And when they get home, the kid goes and plays video games and mom and dad hang out on their phones and watch reruns of Seinfeld or whatever. And the discussion doesn't go much further from there other than scolding. And I just remember being in a meeting one time with a parent and I was like, you know what? I'm always getting such weird stories from her and weird stories from you about how these discussions you guys have at home go.
Right.
What do you say to her? And the mom was like, I just tell her she's got to behave better. And I wanted to say, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
Like, what does your kid doesn't like you because you're fucking weird. You don't talk to your kids unless you're scolding them or you're scoffing at something that they like that you don't understand. Like, I don't get any of the shit that the kids listen to for music. I don't understand it. I'm always slow on like new music anyways. True. I listen to the same like 10 albums and like, I don't get it. But also, like, they like it, so I don't fucking, like, I'm not going to play it. Like, right. There is a, put on Young Schnibbly. I'm like, fucking no.
Young Schnibbly. I love it.
No. Like, I don't have a damn clue what that is. And the second I put it on, like, my admin's going to walk in and be like, what are you guys listening to? And it's going to be like 19 F-bombs and I'm going to get scolded about it or something like that.
Like Little Dicky talking about the size of his ball sack.
Exactly. Hey, by the way, that guy has had enough opportunities to make TV shows. I'm sick of that shit.
Have you seen the show? Have you seen his show?
He's had like seven of them and I'm tired of it.
Okay? I've never watched the show, dude. Like I saw like a half an episode of him. Like he was like fucking some like blow up doll. And I was like, yeah, enough of that.
I don't approve of that. So that's not.
Level Zero, thanks for the $5 super chat, man. He said, Prussian model schools are garbage. The kids need education to conform to them, not the other way around.
Exactly. And they've been garbage forever. They always were. If you know your history and you know anything about Prussia, it was not a place that an anarchist or a libertarian would hold up as like, fuck, yeah, that's the place we need to live. Like, that's obvious. But it's become the default model because it is the easiest method of control. For one, and that's kind of like the cynical libertarian comment on it, but also it's just the easiest way to run a school if your priority is getting tax money, providing a service technically to the most amount of people that you can possibly provide a service to, and then just kind of keeping that running smoothly. Like, it's efficiency for efficiency's sake.
Right.
Provide the service. That's it. Yeah, it's trash, but like, people are demanding that the state tell their kids shit for 8 hours a day. And that's the easiest way to do it. And it's so easy that no one else has a good enough idea that has become popular enough that people will go, okay, I guess we could try that. It's a little out there, but it's just so damn easy and efficient to just stack them in, teach them the thing that you always teach them, and then pack them out.
Right.
And it's depressing, but that is the way. And yeah, so people need to be radical in response to that. And they need to be ready for people questioning their, I'm not a parent. I got one on the way in 3 weeks.
Oh, congrats, buddy.
But thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm racking up my sleep now.
Yeah, you better get as much as you can right now, buddy.
It's the easiest way to do things. And I think we understand that we're not supposed to be in life. We're not supposed to just be taking the easiest way out all the time. But we've also, with what we believe and what we think is right for not only a nation, but a community and a family, I need to understand that we can't take the easiest way out. You need to sacrifice something so that maybe someone can stay home with kids. You need to sacrifice something. And it's usually you got to sacrifice some mindless consumerism,
right,
so that you can stay home with those kids and raise them how you see fit.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why the show has been so invaluable to us, is because it's given Julia the opportunity to stay home while I work. And so, that we're getting to the point now where, soon I'm sure she can homeschool everybody. And then that'll be like the ultimate dream for us. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I want to talk a little bit. I find it so peculiar that you come on this show and you have to be anonymous, but a Democrat teacher who supports the school board and all this shit can go on a TikTok and say, fuck Donald Trump. And we're going to teach your kids whatever we want, no matter what you say, and all this crazy shit. And they're just fine. You know what I mean? What is this double standard, man? I mean, does that exist in all public schools, you think?
Oh, I mean, yeah. It's kind of what I mentioned before, where you could get a promise from a school board not to teach something, but the teachers are still there.
Right.
I know a lot of teachers who I disagree with, who I like as people. I know a lot of teachers who I agree with, who I don't particularly care for as people.
Sure.
I know a lot of people who are petty tyrants, and they've gotten into the job, maybe not because of their ego, but the way they treat their job is pure ego. And yeah, I think the fact that they're defending in large part this model that exists, there's an obvious double standard for these ideas in anything. If you attack what the media is pushing and what your large institutions are pushing as the ideology that needs to be put forward, you're gonna get attacked, and someone who is for them is gonna get glamorized. That one's too easy, which is why, like, more and more the option is that you gotta just get your kids out of those places. Like, you can get your policy changes, but they're still gonna be learning the things you don't want them to learn.
Right.
It's frustrating, but it's one of those hypocrisies that I become so used to that I'm not losing sleep over it.
Right.
Like, I know that my average coworker does not agree with most of my political opinions, or at least on the surface. If maybe someone else was saying them in front of them, they might be like, ah, it's silly. People listen because I get along with people really well.
Sure.
But no, as far as policy stuff goes, it doesn't surprise me. It's irritating sometimes when I see that stuff, but we just have to find other solutions.
Yeah.
And maybe politically there is some pushback now where those people won't be so brazen when they see that look at how it's losing you elections. Because by and large, it looks like that's not a popular set of ideas. And I said that already, it's not popular. So yeah, it's going to lose you votes. And I think having our politicians so in tune to Twitter is a boon for some of us.
Right.
That politicians start to believe that Twitter is the real world. They see these ideas on Twitter and they go, that's my policy. I'm going to run on that shit. And then they're surprised when they lose. And they go, what? I got like 1,500 retweets on this the other day. How did that not show up at the polls? When people, and I was explaining this to someone the other day, like a girl I went to college with was like, do people not see what's happening in front of our eyes with this Facebook stuff? They're going to make the whole world into the Matrix. I think talk about that Meta.
Oh,
I said to tell her, hell, no one's, I was like, no one knows what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
And she's like, are you sure? I'm like, I 1% of boomers understand what you're talking about. Like maybe 2% of anyone younger than that knows what you're talking about. So it is a boon that these people pick up and they spend so much time on their like Twitter accounts doing their politicking there, because they get a little, they get a little out of touch, and your average politician's already out of touch, but maybe entering them into this world where they think they know what the voters want is actually a gift for us.
Well, I just hope that all the politicians get trapped in Meta and then we don't have to live with them anymore.
God, that'd be fantastic.
I'd love that. They all get hooked up to the Meta and Zuck's like, all right, we did it. We're anarchists now. I'd be like, wait a minute. Really? The biggest troll ever, dude. You know, that'd be great. But, you know, that's not going to happen. So, so tell me, you know, so you're a public school teacher, man. I mean, that's what you do.
Yep.
Do you have opportunities to kind of go against the grain as a public school teacher at all?
Oh God, I say whatever I want. Yeah. That's like, for the last 5 years I moved cross country this last year. So I'm in a different state now. But I taught a current issues class. It was an elective. And we read, and I joked about it last time I was on, but we did read a few chapters of Anatomy of the State. We read Kaczynski with the kids, which the kids love Kaczynski.
Nice.
Because they're so addicted to their tech, they know it. They read it. And actually, I have a student right now who was like, Mr. W, have you ever read Ted Kaczynski? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, all right, can we read through this? And I'm like, instead of doing your homework, that's fine. We'll just read Kaczynski.
Oh, wow.
Because, I mean, the stuff they got him doing otherwise is just silly. So I was like, absolutely, let's read Kaczynski. She's like, I have that. I've got Nick Land. Have you ever read Nick? I'm like, no, I've not read Nick Land. I know any left-wingers right now are probably shitting themselves. And no, I, for the most part, have not read Nick Land. I know some about Nick Land. Like, have you ever read Deleuze? I'm like, we're not reading this shit. Like, that stuff is schlock. But yeah, the kids are curious too. If you give space to be curious, and a teacher could have just as much said, like, no, do your homework, shut up.
Right. Which they, the majority would.
Right. So no, I've had a lot of freedom to teach, which is why I'm telling you right now that, and I just got to slam it in there, you're going to get policy changes. The teaching is not going to change. I think your average person probably doesn't know, and I'm glad you're asking, doesn't know what really goes on inside a school. We get our ideas of schools from like TV shows and movies. Right. I love watching a show where like there are like teen characters and they're at school and they're just doing shit that I've never seen at any school ever in my life. Like they just get in their car and like they just leave, or they get 30 minutes between classes to just like hang out in the courtyard and just have a good dialogue between characters. I'm like, what is this? Like, what are you doing right now?
Yeah. Never happens at school.
Or I'm like, what are these situations? But yeah, I think it's, there's, I mean, even when I was at a, like a kind of formal regular schools, I'm not now, I'm at an alternative, different style school.
Sure.
But when I was at kind of your typical school, someone comes in and watches you like twice a year.
Right. They have no idea what's going on.
And you do paperwork a couple times a year. And with COVID stuff, shit, that year where COVID hit us in the spring, I didn't have, my boss came into my room one time. I was showing a documentary about heroin addiction, about the first part was like Oxy, like the whole OxyContin cover up from the fucking pharma companies.
Nice.
And the guy comes in, he's like, are you doing it? I'm like, I'm showing this for like 20 minutes. And he goes, oh, okay, I'll come in some other time. And he never came in the rest of the year. So, I mean, that's the, I'm happy I'm able to do that because I'm able to give kids opportunities to read stuff they'd never have a chance to read. And expose kids to things they wouldn't. But also on the other end of that, I'm sure there's people thinking, this motherfucker's let my kid read Kaczynski. This is like, there are people that would be unhappy with that.
Right.
And so I'm telling you that, like, if you don't like that, then a policy change isn't going to change that, unless your policy is the principals need to be in the room 24/7, or my kid's classroom needs to be closed circuit TV to my house every single day. And at a certain point, you're making a dystopia for your children when the solution is you just got to pull the plug. Sure. Yeah. And that's, again, tougher and more difficult than more easier said than done. And so
are you in favor of getting rid of at least the Department of Education, but possibly public schools entirely?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I would succeed. I have a knack for making relationships, building lines of communication. And I think I'm a good teacher. I think I would succeed at that. People have asked me that before. You fucking idiot. Who would abolish their job?
Right.
Like someone with confidence, someone who thinks they could still make it. Like if you think that this job is the only one you could ever get, you would see abuses and just systematic immoralities in your line of work and shit that doesn't work and shit that perpetuates like the type of authoritarian place that we live in. And you'd be like, but I got the job. So I think this should just go on as is forever.
Hi, kids. Do you like violence? Yes.
Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com, because the system is down and truth is taking over.
Then I don't know what to tell you, but you're missing something out. But yeah, I know I'd be fine. I'd be okay with it. And I think I do a good job right now within this. I mean, I get kids to not go to college. There's way too many kids that go to fucking college, man. Sure. It's ruining. It's immoral to keep on telling kids that they got to go get a college degree or to go find yourself in college. Go find yourself. I'm like, go take a hike. All right. Go take some time off. Go. I mean, I think my best achievements, I've gotten a handful of kids to renege on dedications to joining the military.
Right.
And enter like the trades. And I had a couple of kids that were a couple of years ago that were going into the Marines. And I was like, why don't you just be a welder? Why are you going to the Marines? We had a long discussion about it. And, you know, without ripping on them and tearing them down, and because they're very, you know, patriotic kids.
True.
I just said, maybe don't do that. Like, you're still a brave kid. And this shit does take our bravest kids. Go in there and they join the military. And then they get their youth gets wasted. And their bravery gets wasted on all the bullshit we do overseas. So I mean, that's maybe the proudest stuff that I've done in my time as a teacher.
Sure. Maybe that's what all libertarians need to do. We all need to become public school teachers, all of us.
And just trash kids who want to join the military.
That's the next step to ending all the wars, dude.
You fucking idiot. You want to get rid of your kneecaps? All right.
Well, we could do that. We could go in and teach them about the drug war. I mean, we could really raise up the next generation of kids to be libertarians, dude.
Yeah, and you know what? That is something I want to talk to you about too. And some people aren't going to like this, but I've told, like, this is the, and I think I really suggest Emma Goldman's essay on the child, it's The Child and Its Enemies. Sure. If you haven't read it, I suggest it. I did prepare a section of it that I'm going to read to you. So Emma Goldman is a leftist. She's a socialist, communist, whatever.
She was an anarchist, though.
Labels she'd have put on herself. Yeah. But she wouldn't agree with us on a lot of things. Sure. There's a lot of things she would look at what we're talking about, and she disagreed. But she'd also disagree with people who disagreed with us. So right. We would see eye to eye on many things. And I think the issue is a lot of people in libertarianism or who are anarchists think that they're going to raise their kid where, like I don't watch Beauty and the Beast. I watch anarchist Beauty and the Beast. we don't watch Sesame Street. We watch Libertarian Sesame Street, and like we don't eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch. We watch ANCAP Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's like, okay, everything
right
that you espouse, your kid does not need to agree with. And this is something that that people don't understand, where these red staters who have got their win and got school choice are going to be baffled. They'll be like, I told my kid every fucking day they had to watch Ben Shapiro with me. Why do they fucking hate me? And it's like, listen, dude, like, you're not getting it. Yeah. Like, your kid only learning the things that you believe, they're going to turn away. They're not only are they going to be like, eh, I don't know. They're going to start believing the opposite thing.
Right.
These kids fundamentally are dumb. You were dumb when you were 14. I was dumb when I was 14 years old. And hopefully we've learned from our
dumbness,
youth and our dumbness and the mistakes we've made through life. And we're smarter. Right. And I'm smarter than I was when I was 30. I'm smarter now. And hopefully when I'm 40, I'll look back at now and I'll be like, well, I'm smarter now. But these kids are silly. And so they are not listening to you and like long diatribes from like Austrian economists and thinking, yeah, you're the business cycle as described by Hayek and his Nobel winning piece. This, like, they're not giving a shit about that. That stuff's getting pounded in their heads by people.
Right.
And they look at something being taught by a teacher at school who their parents said is a piece of shit, but that teacher treats them like a capable adult.
Right.
And treats them like someone that they care about and they want to see themselves actualize. They're going to go with whatever bullshit that person's spewing. Like, all education, when you get it, it's, and I mean this in the sense like the pre-World War I term propaganda, education's all propaganda. Okay, they're going to get it from you or they're going to get it from someone else. And if someone else is giving them the ability to do that self-actualization, they're going to slide towards them. They're not going to slide towards mom and dad, who just criticize everything that's coming out of everybody else except for mom and dad. And so you got to where, and we got to where we were politically through a lot of ups and downs that you might look back on and think I was stupid. Those were dumb. That was my phase in college where I was going to SDS meetings and stuff like that. But like, you have to go through those things, and your kids are going to have to go through them too. You need that time preference. You got to wait
right
for your kids to be themselves and make the choices they're going to make. And even then, they're not going to agree with all the things that you want them to agree with. Can I read this bit?
Please, Emma Goldman? Absolutely.
Okay, cool. I'd love to, because I think it's really important. When she mentions, some famous like left anarchist writers and stuff. I changed a little bit of it around to make it more understandable for your audience. They might recognize some more of the names. Okay, so she's talking about, and it's actually The Child and Its Enemies. It's on a PDF. It's online. Anarchist Library. It's free. It's very short. If you put it into a Google Doc, it's probably 3 pages, in my estimate. She says, just so, the free thought parent can proudly boast that his son of 4 will recognize the picture of Ron Paul or Thomas Woods, or that he knows that the idea of the state is stupid, or that the ANCAP father can point to his little girl of 6 and say, who wrote Anatomy of the State, dear? Murray Rothbard, papa. Or that the anarchistic mother can make it known that her daughter's name is Volterina, or her son is named Lysander, or that her kiddies can recite the heavyweight texts of Hoppe and Kinsella, and that they will point out the faces of Dave Smith, Michael Malice, and Quinones almost everywhere. These are by no means exaggerations. They are sad facts that I have met with in my experience with radical parents. What are the results of such methods of biasing the mind? The following is the consequence, and not very infrequent either. The child being fed on one-sided, set, and fixed ideas soon grows weary of rehashing the beliefs of its parents, and it sets out in quest of new sensations. No matter how inferior and shallow the new experience may be, the human mind cannot endure sameness and monotony. So it happens that boy or girl overfed on Break the Cycle episodes will land in the arms of the corporate press, or they will vote for progressivism only to escape the drag of being forced to read dead Austrians all day, or that they might start a Rachel Maddow fan club only to find relief from the old-fashioned libertarianism of their father. And so that's the end of the bit there. But I think that's really important that she asks, she opens the essay with, is the child to be considered as an individuality or as an object to be molded according to the whims and fancies of those about it? That even the ideas of the family of the radical can stifle learning of the child. That it's super important to know this. And going back to that discussion you had with your son, that's super important.
Right.
That you don't, that if he were to come up with these ideas himself or be like, I think that might be correct, that you don't yell at him, be like, you little idiot, I can't believe I raised you. You would say, you know what, that's interesting. What do you think about this situation? And when you see something on the news together, be like, do you still, I mean, is this something that you care about yet? Like, how would you apply that to this? Right. Question your children, like talk to them and have discussions with them. Ultimately, if you're raising them right, they're not going to be jackboots. They're you know, they're not going to go down those wrong roads. They might still, who knows, man, the world's right. A big place.
Well, my 17 year old, I bought her, the big version of For a New Liberty by Rothbard Bard. Uh-huh. And I just said, you know, it'd be cool if you could read this sometime. And she hasn't read it at all. But she's also in public school, but she's in like an alternative education, school trying uh-huh. to play catch up. So she would like to graduate before she, turns 18, and she's got a lot of catching up to do. So she's at a school that lets her kind of go at her own pace so she can go faster. And she, you know, she was writing a paper, and she really likes to show me the stuff that she's doing. I think because we didn't live together for so long, yep. it makes her happy to know that I'm proud of her. And
it's incredibly important.
Yeah. And I she's learning, they're like teaching her how to code. This school has taught her how to use a 3D printer, which is awesome.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. And, but she, you know, we got into a conversation the other day. She wrote a paper, and it was, she was citing some stats, some criminal justice stats, and I'm not going to get into them here, but,
She's talking 30-15 or what is, oh my goodness.
There was some stats that she was quoting, to back up her paper, and I was like, hey, where'd you get those stats from, you know? And she's all, oh, well, I read them in this blog article. And I said, okay, well, let's talk about that. And so I wanted to talk about it with her. I wanted her to understand that stats don't lie, but statisticians do. And and so we got into this discussion, and we went all through like the gender pay gap and like everything. And she's like, yeah, well, you know, men make more than women. And I broke it down for her, like, well, here's all the variables when it comes to, talking about the gender pay gap. And these are the variables that weren't used to deduce any of this. And that's why you can lie with stats. And at the end of it, she was like, wow, I never really thought of it that way. But I didn't berate her. You know what I mean? I wasn't like telling her, you're stupid. I was like, well, you know, can you look at it from this point of view and check it out? You know what I mean? And well, I think more people need to do that with their children than just, you know, spank them and tell them they're stupid and tell them to quit listening to their teacher. Like, it doesn't, that's not how it works.
Right. Because they're absolutely going to keep on listening to their teacher, and they're going to listen to their teacher way harder now.
Yeah.
Okay. And hey, yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. Fucking stop hitting your kids. Holy shit, people.
Yeah, dude. Fuck. Yeah,
that's all I got.
I get so mad, dude. Like, don't hit your children, dude.
I think you tweeted a meme, or maybe it was it Jose Gallison tweeted something about, there was a meme about someone wanted to fucking hit kids. I cannot stand that shit, man, so much. It was a Pawn Stars meme.
Oh, that was that. Yeah, that was that was the guy that came on my post. I can't remember I don't even remember the fucking post I was talking about. But he's like the problem with today's kids is that they haven't been hit enough. You got to smack them. And I was like, what kind of fucking retard thinks that we need to smack our kids more?
I don't, guys. Swear to God, man. There's some people out there that are severely worried that people aren't hitting their kids enough.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't. They'll blame the weirdest shit on people not hitting their kids. Like, we wouldn't have all this crime if people just hit their kids more. We wouldn't have inflation if people just hit their. ISIS would have been gone in a week if people would have just hit their fucking kids. It's like, did this sound like something a sane person would say?
Right.
And it is not a right-left paradigm on that.
It's not.
Like, hitting kids is so bipartisan. And people who don't have kids are like, can I please hit your kids? Like, can I?
Like, no. We'd
be in a utopia. Can I borrow your kids so I can hit someone? If I could just hit a kid, I'd stop sucking dick for cocaine. Just let me hit a kid. Like, it's nuts, dude.
It blows my mind. If you can't get your point up, if you can't get your point across with a child without hitting them, you probably shouldn't have children. That's such a funny line of reasoning too, like what you're talking about. Cause I noticed that too. People are like, you know, this generation wouldn't be like it is if their parents were. No, dude, the generation above mine was beating the shit out of their kids. What are you talking about? What are you talking? Dude, this is the first. My generation's like one of the first generations that's like, hey, maybe we should stop beating the shit out of our kids.
We, so many people got their asses beat when they were kids that we invaded Iraq like four times.
Exactly, dude. It just it blows my mind that people think that that's going to solve all of the world's ills. It's just, hey, just beat little children, dude. It'll make everything better.
And like, and I got to be honest, I don't think some people realize the, I think some people posit that sort of thing because they want to seem tough.
Right.
Like I got, you know, and they don't want to admit that it probably damaged them in some way. What's more wild is some people weren't hit by their parents, but they're still advocating to hit kids.
Yeah. They're like, my parents didn't beat me enough. You're like, are you okay, man? Like, you got to take a seat.
I have feelings. It's your kink, dude. Like, what the fuck? You know, you could pay a lady to hit you right now. You don't got to ask me to hit my kids, dude.
Yeah, for real, dude. Give it a break. Yeah,
the result of that, I've had those kids at school where I've had the discussion of, hey, dude, that kid he looked at you weird. You don't have to go fight that kid right now. I got to fight. Like, no, getting in fights made me tough. I'm like, no, you're fucked up. Look at where you are right now.
Right.
Like, it's brutal to kids, and people don't realize what that stuff does. And they want to perpetuate it to kind of create that myth that it didn't really do anything bad to them. But look at where he brought you. You're trying to get other people to hit their own kids is how much it fucked you up.
You don't even have kids. You're trying to get another parent to hit their kids. You're fucked up. You got something wrong.
My kids went off to college. Can I hit yours, please? Holy shit.
Give it a rest. We got some super chats, man. Daniel 3, Biblical Anarchy. Thanks for the $5 super chat. He says Cowboys suck. I say not as much as the Philadelphia Eagles. Craig, thanks for the $1 super chat. Daniel, Biblical Anarchy again, $10 super chat. He said it's not about forcing beliefs on kids. It's about not subjecting them to state propaganda. They'll naturally become anarchist libertarians if you just teach them don't hurt or steal, no exceptions. So this is my big thing with children. I'm a big fan of teaching my kids that they should not be dependent on the state, and I think that teaching them that without berating them is going to help them not become dependent on the state. And so I think that that's the biggest thing we can do as parents to really keep our kids from becoming these authoritarian tyrants.
Yeah. That's what like getting into Kaczynski, that's where the whole, and it doesn't apply to kids, I think, in his original sense, but that power process,
right.
And needing attainable goals and being able to work to get them. And kids just don't have to do that anymore. Kids have been to, I think, their original delights. Oh, you don't got to do anything. Like, we're creating kids who are working on that first example that Kaczynski talks about, that the man through wishes can get what he wants with no effort.
Right.
Like, he has fun and then he gets bored and then he gets clinically depressed. And all of our kids are doing that at these schools because they are dependent, even for their challenges, they're dependent on the teacher. They've been, at some point, they have been broken of their ability to make their own challenges because teachers have simply said, stop doing this cool thing you're doing and do this lame shit that I'm telling you to do because of a district and county and state curriculum that I had no say in whatsoever. And teachers, to their lack of credit, just go along with that sort of stuff. Not realizing that, dude, your boss comes in like twice a year. You don't have to do this dumb stuff. You can give kids more options. But then even within that Prussian model we've been talking about, there's only so many options you can give those kids when you've got 30, 35, 40 of them in your classroom and just think, oh, this is fine. They'll all do the same thing. Because it is all the same critiques as you teach to the lowest common denominator.
Right.
And now it's even worse because we just give kids tech to sit in front of. And with new flashy tech, it seems cool. The kids have fun, then they get bored. And then we got what we've gotten over the last decade, especially in the last year and a half. And the kids don't have any goals. They're absurdly depressed. And they're just, their eyeballs and their heads hurt because they're sitting in front of their computer over and over and over. And even the ability of their brain to feel happiness is now dependent on the state. And that's brutal to think about, but that's where we're at. Right. And you got to pull kids out of there as quickly as you can if that's the case. Like, especially these schools where kids haven't even gotten back. They're still learning all the bullshit, but they're just sitting alone in their bedrooms now. Instead,
right, which is even worse.
Yeah, that's not being dependent on people. Like, kids will realize that I heard someone was tweeting about kind of like prepping the other day. And their warning was like, please do not treat prepping and learning these cool school, these cool skills that you would need to know as like a prepper, prepping for disaster, as like work. Like so many of these things are awesome that you can learn to do. They will also save your family in an emergency, but they're cool and they're fun. But kids don't have any of that. None of that responsibility has been given to them. None of the goal making and goal achieving, it's all been taken and stripped from them.
Right.
I could just think of Josh. I mean, you, what was your first job that you had?
I had two paper routes. I was on the front page of the newspaper because I had two paper routes.
I had a paper route too. That's awesome. Yeah.
And I was like that nine.
Yeah, exactly. You get like $8 a week or something weird like that.
Yeah, it was, I think I'd make around $100 a month. And then we do once a month, we did like telethons at the Ledger, like where they made the papers. And you wouldn't get paid for getting new subscriptions. You'd just get like boxes of candy and shit. The good old days, dude. But then I'd turn around and flip Airheads at school. You know what I mean?
I had a few of those kids at school.
Yeah,
they go buy like the bulk box of candy bars and sell them for double the price. Loved those kids.
Smart kids,
though. I remember kids be like, oh, can he be doing that? I'm like, sure he can. What are you doing, dude? Like, of course he can be doing that. This kid's making money up in here.
Yeah, dude, it was great. Dude, I loved my paper routes. It was the worst. It was like the worst job I ever had to come to think. You know, I think back on like Saturday and Sunday papers and having to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're like 9 and 10 and like take these big, huge, heavy ass papers to the houses. But like, dude, I had $100 a month when I was nine. Who else
kids,
did that?
Yeah, kids don't. It's not that they don't want to do that, but those avenues have been, they've never been given that option.
Yeah, you can't
that's
do it anymore.
Cut off.
Yep, no, they've gone a long time.
They can't do. I remember when I was 14, I got like my first like the official job where I wasn't just getting paid cash or something like that. And I was working at McDonald's, but like kids, 14-year-olds aren't doing that anymore. There are some places, sure, where kids can get like the worker's permit, but like the amount of jobs has been slowly closed off so that they could possibly get. They can't do a job where they'd get any discernible skill unless they do it outside of the bureaucratic system.
Right.
Like I've had kids that are just flipping cars. They buy rusty old, you know, buckets and they fix them up and they sell them to people. That's great. But unless you're doing that, which most kids do not realize they can do, no one has ever told them, let alone their parents have not told them they can do that. And these kids have largely been discouraged because someone's like, well, I think that's illegal. I don't think you can do that. Like, why, you know, why would that be illegal? Of course. But kids get discouraged from that stuff and they don't think that you can do any of that stuff because by and large, they're not allowed to do that stuff. And no one's giving them the idea this is an option. And kids don't just know things are options. It doesn't just pop into their head like, oh, I think this is allowable. They see so much other stuff and other ways in the world where just making your own choices is not allowed that they start assuming that, you know, being a free person like that isn't allowed. Right. And more that's becoming true because no one is realizing that and pushing back and saying, hey, you could do this. You could do this. And it doesn't have to be making money. It could be literally anything. But they're not getting it from schools where they should be getting it from. And parents are ceding their parenting to schools. And so no one's giving that to them. No one's being the adult. They're all just saying, hey, wait till you're 18. Then maybe you can start being real.
Right.
And that, you know, if you wait until 18, then they give you a fucking rug pull. And now you got to be real now. You got to be an adult, but also we're not going to help you ever again.
Right. Right. No, I get it, man. I've been very blessed to have parents who helped me way after 18 when I needed it, or a mom who did, and grandparents who did. But not every parent is like that, man. Some parents
right,
are.
That's true.
Yeah, they're ready to that get you true. Right out the house at 18, so you better be ready. But yeah, I was very blessed. My mom, you know, worked her ass off. She was look at that. I broke my damn mic. I haven't done that in a while, guys. Yeah, so I was really blessed with a mom who worked really hard to raise two children by herself. She worked three jobs, so whenever I wanted to work and make money, she was like, "Dude, seriously, start as soon as you can." So I got, you know, I went from a paper route, then I got my first like real like hourly paid job, cleaning the pool and mowing the lawn at the gym when I was like 13 or something like that, and they were paying me like $4 an hour, and then I started, you know, serving in a Mexican restaurant when I was like 15 or 16, and then started doing trade work. I mean, my mom always worked for a construction company most of my life when I was growing up, and she was the controller of the office. So when I dropped out of high school my sophomore year, I started going to a continuation school like once a week Fridays, and then I would do my schoolwork at home. And so Monday through Thursday, I would go and dig trenches and demo walls and stuff for this construction company. And I was making, you know, like 10 bucks an hour or something, as a 15 year old. And, you know, I was getting like 400 bucks a week or something like that. It was great, dude. I was rich.
That's money, dude. Yeah. That's serious money as a,
yeah. When you're 15, dude, that's a lot of money, man.
That's good money.
Yeah. I didn't have nothing to pay. Yeah. I didn't have no bills or nothing. You know what I mean? My mom wasn't charging me rent or anything, you know? So
perfect. When I was 16, I worked at the local hospital and I actually got PTO. Like, it accumulated very slowly, but I didn't even know what it was until someone explained what PTO was to me. I was like, wait, I can pay vacation? They're like, very little. I remember with Mike, after 2 years of work, I took 40 hours paid vacation.
Oh, geez.
And I was like, holy shit, this is nuts, man.
Yeah.
Those options are just fewer and far between.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. My daughter, who is 17 now, but when she first moved here, she started working at Wendy's. She was 15. She was working at Wendy's. She was pregnant. She was about 4 or 5 months pregnant, working at Wendy's. Very proud of her. She really wants to do the right thing and take care of her daughter and stuff. And I, you know, she knows she can get whatever she needs for her daughter from me while she finishes high school and stuff like that. But she wants to have extra. Well, she really wants to order a lot of DoorDash is what she enjoys doing. But which, you know, whatever, that's fine, kid. But I hope you start valuing your money a little more soon. Damn, where was I going with this? I keep losing my train of thought, bro. What were we talking about before I brought up my daughter's job?
Our own stupid fucking jobs as kids.
Yeah, I don't know, man. She's making money. I was going somewhere with that, and then I totally trailed off. I started getting stoned at the beginning of the show. I really got to stop getting stoned when I do these shows, man.
That's disrespectful. I can't believe that.
Hey, man. It helps with the anxiety. But I'm very proud of my daughter working her butt off to do. You know, the right thing and make some money, even though she's got the opportunity to really just get a free ride here right now, you know?
Yeah. But which is fine. I don't know if you saw that discourse the other day on Twitter about kicking your kids out at 18 or not.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Who called it? I think it was Jesse Kelly is the premier online tough guy.
He is for sure. He's also like 6'8" though. So, I mean, he's kind of scary,
which I like some things he has to say, but the whole, I think it was at 18, you're out of my house, and someone called it a big bank psyop to make sure that as many people could have their own mortgages and stuff like that as possible, which I buy into some of that. And it's not like someone at a big bank is like, all right, send out the message that kids got to be out of the house at 18.
Right.
I think the argument is that it destroys generational wealth. Kids don't work in the family businesses. Not that family businesses exist anymore. But I think there's something to that it does make sense to, that's a discussion that my wife and I are having as we're prepping our house for now having a child in it. But like, so is the kid out of here at 18? I think he should be able to stay for a bit.
Yeah, just a little while, you know, it really depends. Like, if my kids want to go to college, I'm not going to boot them out of the house while they're in college. I'll try to deter them from going to college, you know, unless they're going to go. I mean, if they're like, hey, dad, I want to go to med school. Like, all right, dude, like, I get it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to actually take those steps, then you should go to college. But like my son, he's like, I want to be an electrician. I'm like, perfect, dude. We'll get you right down to the trade school. As soon as you graduate, you know what I mean? We can get you your 4-month education and get you going as an apprentice. It'll be real easy, buddy. You'll be making more money than any of your friends that go to college.
And that's one of those things, those questions I've always asked for kids on like the first day. Yeah, raise your hand and keep it up. Do you plan on going to college? And I've worked at a really affluent district at one point. I worked at a pretty rural blue collar district at one point. But usually it would be like 50 to 75% of kids' hands would be up.
Right.
As you know, put your, keep your hand up if you know what field you want to go into and you know what your degree is going to be called. And, you know, some hands will go down and say, you know, keep your hand up if you know what the job market looks like in your field right now. Right. And you know a place where you could go and find work if you graduated that degree right now, and honest to God, there'd only be like two hands up at that point. I'm like, hey, not saying you shouldn't go to college, but you should seriously rethink it. I mean, that might be one of the more dastardly things that happens in our public schools, is that pushing everybody to go pay for higher education afterwards with no clue about what you're going to do.
Right.
And that's, it's brutal. It's so expensive. It's just a ball and chain around some of these kids' ankles.
I have a vocational certificate that cost me $20,000, dude. So I get it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like literally, I went and got my LPN. It's like a licensed practical nurse. $20,000 for 13 months of school, dude.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. And we just moved cross country because my wife got her PhD and got a job cross country that was worth moving cross country for. So I know there's a lot of debt there. That's expensive, man. That stuff is not cheap. And if there's just too many kids getting told from parents and family, also from all of society, that you're just a better person if you go to college. Is that old? That prestige is not worn off yet, you know? Even though fucking everyone gets accepted to college.
Oh, yeah.
Prestige has still not worn off. There are kids that have been like, I'm like, hey, bud, what are you doing? You know, you're graduating in a month. What are you doing? And they tell me they're going to college. And I'm just like, what? What? For what? All right, I'm behind you, bud. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. There's some kids that you're like, you just don't go to college. I think that's my daughter too. You know, I was like, are you gonna go to college? She's like, no. And I'm like, that's good, because I don't see you as a college person. You know what I mean? And now she's found this apprenticeship for John Deere. It's like a summer internship for welding. And I'm like, I'm like, shit, kid, if you can go and become an apprentice for welding and like get a job at John Deere welding, like you could make more money than I make. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
nothing welds like a deer.
It's not hard. It's not easy to weld good. And I told her, I said, if you pay attention, listen to what people tell you, don't argue, and learn how to weld, you can make a lot of money welding. So hopefully she'll do it, man.
That's tough. And from what I've heard, the way public school is set up does not set kids up properly for those apprenticeship programs and whatnot. I mean, it's just another disservice that the style of learning is doing to them. But I'm glad that she's in that. So many kids look at that and they're like, I'm at some dirty hobo. Right. Like, it's like, I go to college or I'm homeless. Right. That's the idea in their mind that has, of course, been created by all the adults in their life.
Right.
You know, it's, I don't know.
Daniel 3, thanks for the $5 super chat, man. He said, I think I'm the last person in America to join a family business post high school. I know some people who went to the family business after high school, man.
It gets frowned upon. Like, it's the whole idea of like, oh,
you don't want to go work for dad.
They're living in their hometown still. It's like, yeah, I love this place. It's where I was raised.
Yeah.
Like, I already want to move back to where I moved from. I know it might happen someday, but like, and I'm a grown adult. It's like, why are you trashing a kid for not immediately leaving the town where he was raised? I think that's a silly cultural thing. I think people who move, it's one of those choices that people who do choose to up and move, they need to put that idea out. They're like, I can't believe you would still be here in this town. They need to put that idea out to feel better about the loneliness they're feeling in a giant metropolis. Like, that they're more trying to convince themselves.
Right.
But it does pervade our culture, the whole guy who stayed in his hometown, as a negative thing.
Yeah. And they do. And they portray it negatively in movies and all kinds of stuff, man. It's unfortunate, but for my hometown, it's pretty true though. So I'm just from one of those places where it's like people get trapped there and you never get out, and it's not a good trapped, you know what I mean? So
no.
I'm happy to be out of there, man. I miss my grandma. She's pretty much, her and my Uncle Steve, my mom's brother, are the only ones that are still there. And he's, you know, he does really well. He's like a superintendent for a sheet metal union in the San Francisco, does like big time, like skyscraper HVAC. So the guy's loaded, you know, he's doing really good.
Honestly though, you can go pick grandma up, go pull the school bus around and pick grandma.
I'm trying. That's I've been trying to get my grandma and my mom and sister to come out here too. Cause I was great. School man. Bus. I love
the school
Iowa.
Bus with like the wheelchair winch.
Yeah.
And just load her in.
Yeah. Maybe I will. We'll see what happens with Granny. But brother, we're at the end of the show, man. I'm just a huge fan of yours. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Where can people find you, support you, listen to you, all that great stuff?
I am at @Z_mustard. It's been trolling on your screen the entire time.
Absolutely.
They can follow me there. They can follow me nowhere else because I don't do anything else. Be on the lookout. I do sell mustard and hot sauce and stuff like that. I used to sell it locally, but a lot of people since I moved have been being like, hey, you got to get a website up. You got to be able to mail some of the stuff out. So I'm going to put some info on that out in like soon. We just got our kitchen up and running again. So I can,
nice,
when I'm done with this, I'm going to go in the kitchen and I am going to make some mustard. It'll be the first batch in our new place out here.
Okay. Well, I want mustard and hot sauce. I order hot sauces from people on Twitter frequently, actually, if you can believe that. And I just got some really good. I got one that's pineapple bacon habanero.
That sounds really good.
Really, really good. And then I got another one that's like peach habanero or something from the same person. Yeah. And awesome. Man, some of the best hot sauce I ever had. But homemade right in the kitchen, dude. So if you're making hot sauces and mustards, I'll probably order from you.
I'm putting some on the smoker tomorrow and I'm going to ferment some. That stuff's that's the good stuff. But also, I'll put some of that info out. A couple things. You got some time for like a shout out?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. One, we're having a kid in 3 weeks. So please pray for the good health of my wife and my son coming up here. But also I am off of work tomorrow, which is really nice. Because it is Armistice Day. Now I know the state does not see that as Armistice Day. They call it Veterans Day. But just a shout out for Armistice Day. Then remember tomorrow, again, we're in the minority here. But let's not forget what Armistice Day represents. Honor the people. We honor soldiers all the time. You're going to see, you know, parades, salutes, the, you know, flags the size of a football field, flyovers and stuff like that. But there's a lot of people that have no monuments. They have no holidays or mentions in the public sphere other than to be chided for like cowardice and disloyalty. So I just want to remember and honor the people who went to jail, faced abuse, faced firing squads for simply walking away, dropping their guns and walking away from the trenches. I'm saying no to warfare and bringing, you know, World War I to an end for the reason we remember this. So for tomorrow, November 11th, just remember the peacemakers.
Nice, dude. That very, very well said. I appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too, man. We'll do it again in the future for sure. Thanks so much.
Okay. You take care, bud.
Hey, you too, brother. All right, guys. Another awesome episode of Break the Cycle. Go follow Z Mustard on Twitter. He's a great follow, and he's really fun to have on podcasts. So if you got a great podcast, hit him up. See if he can come on yours too. But you got to keep him anonymous. He is Z Mustard only. Guys, go check out my sponsors, of course, gottoplobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Breaks the Cycle, where you can get all kinds of great hand-drawn graphic design t-shirts, hats, backs, bags. I think he's got pants. I think there's like women's yoga pants and all kinds of good stuff on there at a 10% discount by using BTC at checkout. Or you can go over to the Patreon, subscribe, star, become a member of the YouTube channel under all my videos by hitting the join link, where you can get into the private Discord server and get up to 30% off of all of his brand new gear up to 2 weeks before it goes to the general public. Good stuff. I guarantee you will love it. And it's all really quality made, too, so he doesn't use, like, shitty manufacturers. And, of course, executive producers of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me night after night. I know the views have dropped a lot. We're still getting a lot of listens on the podcast side. Thank you. We just crossed 100,000 downloads. That's really huge for a podcast that started in March. So I appreciate you guys. I'm going to be doing a lot of booking over the next week to try and start getting month out like I used to, so that my calendar can be more consistent. Hopefully we'll bring a lot of you guys back. But we got some big names on the horizons. So definitely stay tuned. There will be no show tomorrow, but Friday I have Tommy Sammons from the Libertarian Institute coming on. That's going to be a lot of fun. I really enjoy talking with that guy. So I'll see you then. But until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and refrain. But I just spent it in Minecraft.
The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Well, Chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you know it. No product dinners, 'cause they're closed for COVID. Holy shit, I think I'm a poet.